everybody. Welcome and good morning. Welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, Northfield, Minnesota. A friend you can count on. And it is a beautiful day today. Today is the 17th day of November. 1 week, 1 day away from Thanksgiving. The year is 2010. Our temperature in Kimland is 3 degrees below freezing. It's 29 degrees on the Wayne Eddy Affair. And I have a very special guest here this morning. He wants to work. You got to work that mic. You can bring the mic to you if you want to so you can relax.
The way it works.
What? Roger Erickson, how you doing?
Well, not too bad. How's yourself?
Well, I'll tell you what. There are a lot of people out there listening are going, is it the Roger Erickson?
No, a Roger Erickson.
Well, give us a Roger Erickson hello.
Hello there, then.
Yeah, sure. Well, before we do anything, Roger Erickson, I have to do something that I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Okay.
And you know the words. 1, 2, 3. Good morning.
Good morning. It's grand to be on hand. Good morning. Good morning to you.
I got goose pimples, Roger. How many years did you sing that song on WCCO?
Well, actually, you know, Jurgen Nash.
Oh, yeah.
Who was on early in the morning when I first started there. And he was doing the morning show with Maynard Spies. And that's from the Broadway show and made into a movie, Singing in the Rain.
Yes.
And he did kind of changed it a bit. And then when I started, Jurgen Nash then moved to an evening. He had a big evening show. Then they asked if I'd go down and work with Maynard. And so we continued it with the Good Morning song.
The Maynard Spies.
Maynard Spies. And boy, when he came up, when he sang that song, it was sung.
You kind of threw me off here this morning because I forgot that you harmonize at the end.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know how to harmonize. I go with whoever I'm standing next to, that's where I go.
You know, the interesting thing about that song, it's so recognizable. When Charlie and I do anything, even if we're at the old log or whatever and do a show, at the end, we always wish everybody luck driving home and sing the good morning song for good luck. And they just sing it out.
Absolutely.
And in that great harmony.
And speaking about Charlie Boone, I understand you and Charlie are going to be performing at our friend Don Stoltz's Old Log Theater.
Yes, for the first Monday in December, we always do the Christmas Carol.
A Christmas Carol, okay.
And we do all the voices, do the narration. But the interesting thing about it is we're reading the real stuff. It's not the dramatic thing that you see on stage. There's a lot of really descriptive phrases, you know, and Don does that. We read it and we do the voices, and Don then comes in, Don Stoltz, mm-hmm. and breaks in and talks about the times, what they were like there, and Charles Dickens and what a hard life he had and stuff like that. It's really interesting. We have a guitar player there. In the background and some of it, but we do all the voices.
Now, is this only one time every
Just
year?
One time.
And how many years have you been doing that?
Oh, I think we've done it now for 10 years, something
okay.
like that.
And that's the first Monday of December.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to let people know that it's a tradition now, and the holidays, it's nice to have a tradition during the holidays and be able to go hear Boone and Erickson again. How many years were you and Boone and Erickson partners on WCCO?
Well, we both came in 1959.
Okay.
We didn't know each other,
mm-hmm.
but we got there about a month apart. First, Charlie came in. He was from KFGO in Fargo.
Big time.
Big time.
Compared to WAVN.
Right. Yeah, KFGO, wow. And he was a superstar rock jock.
Uh-huh.
And he was down in the Twin Cities and walked into WCCO just to see what it was like. Well, he should tell that story.
Sure. He did tell the story. He was my very first guest on this show.
Oh, really?
In 2006.
So he walked in, and they heard him and heard his voice. And said, hey, why don't you audition right here? And got the job right away. Now, that was about in August of 59.
Mm-hmm.
Also in August of 59, I was hired at WCCO Television to do Bozo the Clown.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah. That was fun. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.
And I doing Bozo the Clown, it was good, but it was not exactly enough to have a decent apartment nearby.
Really? The pay
well,
wasn't
Well, it was okay. I know. Yeah. I was happy. You know,
okay,
but,
yeah.
But it because I was there. At WCCO
yeah.
television,
yeah.
not WCCO AM. I did in 1958 a show they did the first Sunday of every month in 1958, which was the centennial of Minnesota. And they did an hour drama. And Bob DeHaven and Cedric Adams were the narrators. And then they always had two or three or four actors, depending on how many different lines and how many different voices they'd hire. And for instance, it'd be the Hinckley Fire. And I played the guy who was the engineer on the train, getting through the swamps and picking up people who were, you know, terrible, the Hinckley Fire. A lot of sound effects, and so you needed these actors. Might be one line, might be a conversation. And they did this for 3-4 months, and it was Don Stoltz, a friend of mine, Irv Fink. I was with him at the university, wonderful, wonderful radio actor, and a couple of others would do these voices. And then the CCO decided we could use some new voices. We are the same ones. And Don Stoltz suggested me. Because he had known about it, and so I got a job there for a few Sundays, and then when CCO Television decided to do this Bozo the Clown, they had all the shows from Bozo, the cartoons. They needed a live Bozo, and Don suggested me. So Don has been part of my. My career as much as anybody.
Mm-hmm. I've had Don on about 3 times, 2 hours apiece, and we still haven't gotten to today.
Yeah.
It just, you know, he's such a marvelous interesting individual. And didn't he just turn like 90?
He's 93, I think.
Oh, my gosh. And you're right. I just found out today you're 82 years old.
I'm afraid so.
Wow, that took me aback. I thought you were probably more in the middle 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
I like to think like that.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, when I was in 1958, 59, that era that you were just talking about, I was in high school, and I was listening to WDGY and KDWB. I mean, that's
the rock stations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I went to Brown Institute, one of them once told me that they said, not me personally, but they told the class, what you have to do is you have to listen to Charlie Boone and Roger Erickson, because they're really radio announcers, and they
really?
they have substance and personality, alter egos, not just shouting out the next song. And I tuned to WCCO. I heard it when my grandpa would listen to Cedric Adams.
Oh, yes.
And I thought, well, okay, the instructor said I should tune to WCCO and learn more about radio, other than I wanted to be a disc jockey, a top 40 disc jockey.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, there's more to it than introducing Bobby Darin and Mac Denife or whatever. And years later, I'm jumping all over the place, but years later, when I was vice president of radio for the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, at one of our seminars, I said to the broadcasters, when I think about it now, it was pretty gutsy. I said, I'm embarrassed that WCCO pulls 50% of the radio audience. That embarrasses me for all the rest of you broadcasters in the Twin Cities. How can one station have half the audience and the other 14 split the other half? I mean, that was unbelievable in the annals of broadcasting in a market the size of the
yeah,
Twin
really,
Cities,
that's true.
Which you guys pulled off. Unbelievable, right?
Well, it was, you know, I don't know why it happened, but it happened.
Yeah, but...
Charlie and I both came that same month, but we didn't come as a team. Charlie was hired to do a show because his history of doing music, and they decided to do some. They never played records before that. They decided to have a record show, kind of competing with the rock stations. But only a 2 or 3 hour show in the afternoon. I think it was from 3 o'clock on. And then, coincidentally, WCCO had soap operas almost all day for a long time, but they had honed them down to about a 2 hour thing, which was on the air from 1 to 3. And then finally, CBS decided in 1960 to take them all off. Radio soap operas are dead because of the TV soap operas.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an opening from 1 to 3, and I had been there just doing station breaks and stuff and doing some weather and different, doing some nighttime, some weekend stuff, and they gave me a shot at that show. So I'm on 1 to 3 doing the show. Charlie and I did weather on each other's show, and we started after the weather started
bantering.
Yeah. And it kind of developed. Pretty soon, I found out from Charlie that he was interested in theater, and he was out in California and doing stuff and voices. And I was at the U and meeting a lot of interesting people and also doing voices. And KUOM, the university radio station back then, had a show for Twin Cities in-school listening. Every morning at 11 o'clock, it might be about science, it might be about something else, but it was a drama. And so you're doing all these different voices. And so I'm talking with him about, we're both interested in radio acting, which is different from regular acting. I mean, you could just stand right here without even moving, and you can do a great number of things with your voice only. And so then we started kibitzing on each other's show, and after a while we're doing a bit. We did a thing. There was it turned out to be a gag, but it made all the newspapers, that somebody said that they had to put clothing on certain animals because our children are looking at their genitalia, and it is not good for them. Cows, for example. What are they seeing most of all there? Bad, bad, bad. Got to find clothing for cows. And I made all the papers. So we came up with a thing. Charlie played the fashion expert. Well, if they're going to have clothes, I think that... Now, your bear, the black bear here in Minnesota, is just wonderful as is. I mean, you got the basic black.
Yeah.
So that is going on with this. And the cows, yes, you will have to put a brassiere definitely on the cow. So anyway, we're going through that whole thing. A guy in Wayzata heard this, and he wrote to, what's his name on CBS? The
Arthur Godfrey.
He wrote to Arthur Godfrey. Says, you should listen to the Boone and Erickson. So Godfrey read the letter over the air. Well, after all this commotion, CCO decided, I guess you guys have a show.
Cool.
Together. That's how it all started.
And that was in 1960,
probably? That was 1960.
Okay. Now, being Bozo the Clown, relate to and know personally people like Roger Awesome?
Oh, yeah. All those kids' characters. We ran into each other everywhere. You know,
We're talking about Casey Jones, folks, yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. But we'd be appearing at different big events. We'd run into each other.
At the same, big opening for, let's say, McDonald's or something.
Aquitennial Parade.
Yeah.
We'll be meeting at the parade, you know, State Fair. Yeah. And,
Well, Roger was my mentor.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
great. I met him at Central High School in St. Paul. He was getting his teacher's license. And we said, well, you're a big star. Why would you want to go to finish off your education and get a teacher's license? And he said, because you never know what you're going to be doing tomorrow in the broadcast industry.
That's right.
And it turned out to be very, very true. Is that coming to you?
Oh, yeah. I recognize it.
Name that tune.
Here it is. Ghost Riders in the Sky.
Right. And you recognize the voice?
baritone.
Vaughn Monroe.
Vaughn Monroe.
Yeah, that brings back memories.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't kind of holding his nose that time. This recording.
Yeah.
He had quite a nasal kind of presentation, didn't he?
Yes.
He's good,
though. Yeah. 920 on 1080 Radio. My guest this morning is Roger Erickson. Yes, the same Roger Erickson that you are familiar with from WCCO Radio 830, your good neighbor.
So how long have you been doing this show?
Me?
Yeah, this talk thing.
This show here I've been doing since 2006.
So you do an interview a day type thing?
Every day I have somebody different on.
Wow.
Every day. And we sit and chat for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't get done and you have to come back. For example, a fellow that you know, Al Cui.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I've had him on 6 times and we haven't gotten to him being governor. We just go off on sidebars on different things.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
he's one of my favorite governors.
Oh, he is. He's a great guy.
I had a milking contest with him one time.
Mm.
Did he ever tell you about that?
No.
Could he miss?
Well, we may have not gotten to that part of his life.
Oh, yeah. Well, a couple of times, as a matter of fact.
Was he governor at the time?
Yes.
Okay, that's why we didn't talk about it.
We had...
Because I hadn't gotten that far in his life yet.
When we're out at the state fair.
Yeah.
And Boone and Erickson, and they'd usually have me do a milking contest because I grew up at a farm and we milked by hand. And so I'd say, heck yes. And then Charlie would do play-by-play. And it'd usually be maybe somebody from 4-H Club or something. But, you know, in 4-H, those kids didn't milk by hand.
No.
So it was kind of embarrassing. They were pulling away and getting just a little. And, you know, there's a method to that.
I know.
Have you done that?
Yeah.
You kind of squeeze from the top and then down as you pull, and then you rhythmic.
Get it right.
Yeah.
Once you get going, it works.
And I always beat them, and I had to find a way to lose. But yet I wanted to show that I could milk a cow.
Yeah, I get it.
So I'd get it, up a couple of inches, and then I'd give the cow a little tickle on the leg and kick. Pick the pail over, and the other kid wins.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Now, did you ever squirt anybody?
Pardon?
Did you ever squirt anybody?
Well, we did when I was
a kid.
I was a kid.
Yeah.
Not at the state fair. But anyway, so up comes Al Cui. I'm now to have a contest with Governor Al Cui. They said, ready, go. And I hear, pow, pow, pow. He's got that thing half filled before I'm even getting going. It was unbelievable. So I talked to him afterwards. I know you grew up on a farm, but did you milk cows by hand? And he said his father and he milked, I think, like 20 cows, which is a lot by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you just never, you never forget how to do that.
And I think his father lost an arm at one point in his life.
Is that right?
Yeah. Al lived right out
In
Denison, graduated from Northfield High School.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Roger Erickson.
That's boring. Anything else?
1928. Is that the year you were born?
I guess. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Okay. And when's your birthday?
January 30.
Okay, January 30th, 1928. Okay, so that means that you grew up during the Depression.
You betcha.
And what I like to do is find out all about my guests, the Erickson side of your family. Did you know your grandfather?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, where were you born?
I was born in Winthrop, Minnesota, which is out near New Ulm. It's Gaylord.
Sure. Well,
Winthrop is the next town going west on
Highway 19. Yeah.
And we live just 2 miles east. The farm was a 200-acre farm, and we had mostly all boys in the family, so there was plenty of help. We had my older brother, who was 6 years older than I, and then it went on from down there.
What's his name?
Cliff.
Okay, first there was Cliff,
mm-hmm.
and then after Cliff, who was there?
Roger.
Oh, okay, so they waited a while in between.
Well, actually, there was one other, Douglas, between Cliff and me, who went into the hospital and died in the hospital at the age of 10.
Oh, my goodness.
And I can't remember exactly what it was.
Rheumatic fever?
It was something. But it was very, very sad. I was young at the time.
Yeah.
But, and I got to say, Mom kind of never got over that. It was tough on her. I used to, in the morning, on the air, I'd play a hymn. At 20 after, I was on, started at 5, and at 5:20, I'd pay him, and I'd, you know, I'd, you know, wouldn't be the same hymn every day. But I learned there were a couple of hymns I wouldn't, I shouldn't play, because I found out that Mom, it just tore her up, because he was a very, he was the musician in the family, and at the age of 9 and 10, he was out performing.
Wow.
Yeah, he was playing the guitar, he'd play the violin, he'd sing. He's one of those who looked like he's going to be something special. And then he died at the age of 10.
Gee whiz.
I can't remember exactly what it was. Well, but anyway, then comes my brother Dick,
okay,
who is the really successful one in the family.
What? How much younger is he?
He's 4 years younger than I.
Okay.
And he... was, well, he's still on the board of, I think the modern name of the company, but it's in-school photography, where you get those pictures.
Sure.
I can't think of it now.
Well, it's a big company that takes pictures.
Yeah, right.
Of school kids.
Yeah, just
okay.
Nationwide, worldwide, actually.
Wow.
And then all my brothers. My brother, the next one was Kurt, and... he's 6 years younger than I.
Okay.
And then my parents were very happy. They finally got a girl.
And her name is?
Her name is Meredy. She has since passed on. She had cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry. How much younger was she than you? Eight?
Yeah, something like
years?
That. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then she was the final child?
The final child.
Okay, so we got Cliff, Douglas, Roger, Dick, Kurt, and Meredy.
Yeah.
All right.